Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
We bless your name and we glorify you tonight. And in Jesus' mighty name have we prayed with thanksgiving. And in the matchless name of the King of Kings have we worshipped. And let the people of God say, Amen. Oh, clap your hands and bless the name of Jesus, everyone. We bless you, Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you very much for being in church tonight. Hallelujah. All right. Well, I do hope that all of us remember that this year, we declared it as a year of being rooted in Christ and reproducing for Christ. How many can I remember that that is the theme for the year? All right. And this, I am very certain of, is part of God's will and His purposes for us. And there are so many scriptures that point to this. If you look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7, from the New Living Translation, it says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him." Then it continues and says, "Let your roots grow down into Him. Let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thanksgiving." So this is one of the scriptures that tell us that we must let our roots grow deeply into Christ Jesus. Then look at Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Jesus came and told His disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations." In other words, reproduce for me. All right? "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So in this scripture, you can see that we're being called upon to reproduce for Christ. That's what it means to make disciples unto Him. Another scripture, similar theme, John 15, 16. It says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit." That means reproduce for me, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. So these last two scriptures that I read are telling us and informing us that God is expecting us to reproduce for Christ and to reproduce for Him. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is our calling, that is our mandate, to be rooted in Christ Jesus and to reproduce for Him. But you know, to become deeply rooted in Christ and to be fruitful in His service, it is important that we become committed disciples. Everybody say, committed disciples. I'm sure you've heard me say many times that the Christian life is a life of discipleship. that when you become a Christian, actually, you are expected to be a disciple. In fact, that word Christian, you only find it 3 times, I believe, in the Bible. But you find so many different places where the word disciple is used. And the believers of the early church were referred to as disciples. The first time they were called Christians was in Antioch. But otherwise, they were known as the followers of Jesus or the followers of the way. And the common name for them is disciples. Hallelujah. So if you are a Christian, you're supposed to be a disciple. Amen. And when we talk about being deeply rooted in Christ and being fruitful in his service, it means that you must be a committed disciple. And we must not only be disciples ourselves, but God is actually expecting us to be disciples of others. So if you're a child of God, you must see yourself as a disciple. And not just that, God's expectation is to use you to disciple others. In other words, you're supposed to become a discipler. Hallelujah. Now, how can we therefore become committed disciples? And how can we be effective disciples? To achieve this, I believe that we need to learn from the journey that Jesus took his disciples through. Because this road that we are walking on, others have walked on it before. And when Jesus walked the earth, he had a group of people with him who were known as his disciples. And they are our forerunners. They are the trailblazers. And there's so much we're supposed to learn from them and the journey that Jesus took them through and the processes that he took them through and the path that they walked upon. Because that path that they walked on is the same path that you and I, as Christians and contemporary disciples, are supposed to walk on. Hallelujah. And according to God's plan, each one of us is meant to walk a similar path as the disciples in the Bible walked on, so that we can become all that he's called us to be. If you do a careful study of the apostles' journey and what Jesus took them through, you will see that there was a clear process that started with growth, maturity, stewardship, and then it ended up in leadership. That was their journey. And he took them through a process that was made up of different stages. Growth or spiritual growth. Maturity or spiritual maturity. Stewardship. And then leadership. Everybody say with me, spiritual growth. Maturity. Stewardship. And leadership. Let's say it again. Spiritual growth. Maturity. Stewardship and leadership. That was the journey that the early apostles went through. And I'm emphasizing again that God's plan for us is that we will all go through that same process of spiritual growth, maturity, stewardship, and leadership. So let me do some quick definitions for you. Because I've mentioned spiritual growth, I've mentioned maturity, I've mentioned stewardship, and then I've mentioned leadership. Let me just define them for you so that you'll be clear in your mind what all these words mean. And I've already defined them for you in earlier sermons. So spiritual growth is the gradual development of a believer into the likeness of Christ. Spiritual growth is the gradual development of a believer into the likeness of Christ. So when a believer gradually develops into the likeness of Christ. That is what we call spiritual growth. Hallelujah. And notice that it is gradual. It doesn't happen in a flash. It doesn't happen in an instance. It takes time. And we must allow time to work on us so that we will gradually develop into the likeness of Christ Jesus. When that happens, then it means that we have grown or we are growing spiritually. And spiritual growth involves different things. It involves growing in faith, growing in obedience, growing in understanding, growing in holiness, growing in love, and so many other things. So that's what spiritual growth is. Then the next stage of that journey that we're supposed to go through is spiritual maturity, where this is the state where a believer becomes stable, discerning, responsible, fruitful, and Christ-like. Spiritual maturity is the state where a believer becomes stable, discerning. To be discerning means to be able to understand and judge correctly. That's what it means to be discerning. And when we talk about maturity for a child of God, a Christian, or a believer, it means that the person is becoming stable, discerning, responsible. When you're mature, when you're spiritual mature, you are responsible, fruitful. You cannot talk about spiritual maturity without being fruitful and then Christ-like. So you see Christ-like coming here again. In spiritual growth, we are supposed to become more like Christ. And in maturity, we are becoming even more like Christ. And the fact of the matter, ladies and gentlemen, is that you can never finish becoming like Christ. It's a perpetual thing that you have to go through for the rest of your life. And you can't get to a point, you know, in your Christian life here on earth where you say that I have finished becoming like Christ. So you can get closer and closer, but you can't get to that place and say I have finished. So as you are growing spiritually, you are becoming more like Christ also. And then as you are maturing, you are becoming more like Christ. All right? Then after spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, the next stage that Jesus took his disciples through, which is a stage that all of us must also go through, is stewardship. All right? And I defined for you last Sunday that stewardship is the responsible management of something that has been entrusted to your care. It is the responsible management of something that has been entrusted to your care. Stewardship means you take good care of what has been entrusted to you. So Jesus took the disciples through that stewardship. And then the last leg of the journey is leadership, the last stage or phase of that journey that Jesus took the disciples through is leadership. And leadership is the ability to influence, guide, and inspire people toward a common goal. Leadership is the ability to influence, to guide, and to inspire people toward a common goal. And at the end of the journey that Jesus took the disciples through, they became leaders. And they were able to influence others, to guide others, and to inspire them to carry out that great commission that Jesus had given to them and to all of us by extension. All right. So the last leg of the journey was this stage where they became leaders. And I think I told you last Sunday that, you see, when we talk about being a leader, it's not about controlling and dominating and manipulating people. That's not leadership. That thing is witchcraft. It's sorcery. Because God never intended that human beings should dominate other human beings. That trend came with the fall of man. But God's intention from the beginning was that human beings will have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the face of the earth. They were those were the specific creatures that we were supposed to dominate and rule over. But with respect to fellow human beings, we are supposed to influence one another. We're supposed to guide one another, and we're supposed to inspire one another. Hallelujah. So that's leadership. Now, I told you on Sunday that this month of June for us is actually a month of stewardship and leadership. And my intention is to teach extensively on these two subjects as we go through the month. But for the next couple of weeks, what I want to do is I want to take you through that experience that Jesus took the disciples through. Because that is what he's expecting all of us to go through. And so I'll be sharing with you on the subject, journey from spiritual growth to kingdom leadership. Journey from spiritual growth to kingdom leadership. So that's what I'm starting tonight. Journey from spiritual growth to kingdom leadership. Everybody say with me, journey from spiritual growth to kingdom leadership. And there's a reason why I have used the term kingdom leadership, because it's leadership according to the kingdom of God. And that kind of leadership, it's about service, not dominating people. Leadership according to the world system is one that dominates people, rules people, controls people. That is leadership according to the world. But leadership according to kingdom principles, it's about service. It's about leading by example. It is about building up people rather than using them. That is kingdom leadership. And ladies and gentlemen, just as Jesus took the disciples through that journey from spiritual growth to kingdom leadership, I will have you understand that his plan and his intention for you, if you are a child of God, if you are saved, if you are born again, his intention is to take you through that same journey. And that is what will bring you to the place where you become rooted in Christ and you will be able to reproduce for him. So remember again that the journey starts with spiritual growth, and then it gets to maturity, and then you get to stewardship, and then you get to leadership. And this is what I want us to scrutinize closely. We want to see how Jesus took the disciples through that. Let's start with the first stage, growth or spiritual growth. Now, what Jesus did when he started his earthly ministry. Remember that Jesus started ministering when he was about 30 years old. For the first 30 years of his life here on earth, there is very little said about him. But it was from 30 years that he started ministry. And it started off, as recorded in some of the Gospels, with he going to see John the Baptist for John to baptize him. That was the beginning of his ministry. All right. But you will see that early in Jesus' ministry, he decided to organize some people to work with them very early in his ministry. So in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 19, from the New King James Version, Matthew 4, 18 to 19, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen." Verse 19. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And you will see that the disciples of Jesus, when they started off with him, they began as followers. And they began as learners and not as leaders. And that process of following and learning is what leads to growth. Is what leads to growth. And that's what led to their growth. They had to follow him and they had to learn from him. So in the last part of the verse, he says, and I will make you, I will make you, I will make you. That means that they were not yet what God intended them to be. But that as they followed him and as they learned of him, he was going to cause them to become what he wants them to become. And that is what was going to result in growth for them. Hallelujah. I mean, think about it. So you have a little child who is 2 years, 2.5 years. There are certain things that when you see with a child, you will say that the child has grown. So I'm not just talking about physical growth. But there are certain things, certain signs. When you see them with the child, you know that the child has grown. Because what you do is that from a certain stage, you start teaching the guy things. You start teaching the little boy or the little girl things. And you are expecting the child to follow you in those things and to learn from them. So for example, when you want your child to talk, you start saying things to the child and encourage the child to say them after you. Is that not what you do? Yeah. And then if there are some things that you want the child to learn how to do, you start doing them and you expect the child to follow you as you are doing those things. So if you're showing the child how to walk, what you do is that you hold. So of course the child will start with crawling. All right, but then at a point when you feel that it's time for the child to walk, what you do is you hold the child up, all right, so that he stands, and then you start taking steps with the child, and you're expecting the child to follow you, to follow you, to follow you, to follow you. And as you stick with this patiently, you get to a place where you leave the child and then you start moving. And then he starts doing like he's flying. Then he's following you. He's following you. He's following you. And you do that till finally the child becomes stable on his feet. And that's when you look at the child and say, "Mibe, wenyi." The child is grown. But why are you saying that the child is grown? And how did the child grow? The child grew by following you and by learning from you. Take potty training, for example. You know, from the beginning, the child just wee-wees on himself and he pukes on himself. That's it. But from a certain stage, you tell yourself that, no, we can't be doing this all the time. I cannot be changing diapers for the rest of my life. This child must learn how to sit on the toilet bowl and discharge. So you teach the child. So from a certain stage, you pick the child up and you put him, and you go and get some accessory, because the child's back is very small. So if you put him on a normal size, you know, toilet bowl, you just sink. So there are these accessories that you fit in. So you start doing it little by little. You take him, then you go and put him on it, you know, and tell him, do your thing, discharge. 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 Do you see? Then, as as you do that, as you keep with it, as you teach the child, it gets to a point where now you are not the one who is taking him to the toilet to go and do these things. You get to a place where you realize that the child now, you begin to see that the child is running and saying, you follow the child, you go to the bathroom and see that he has jumped on the toilet bowl and he's discharging by himself. If you are a parent, when you see these signs, there's a certain joy that floods your heart. And you tell yourself that my child has grown. But that process takes place through the child following and learning the things that you're teaching him. And ladies and gentlemen, this is what Jesus did with the disciples. When he called them, he told them, follow me. And then he told them, and I will make you. It means that you are not yet what you are supposed to be. But as you follow me and as you learn of me, I will turn you into something that will even blow your mind. So that growth thing is captured by the following and the learning. By the following and the learning. Let me show you another scripture. Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. And he, that is Jesus, went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. And they came to him. Then look at the next verse. Then he appointed 12 that they might do what? Say that again. They might do what? Be with him. And that he might send them out to preach. The intention, the objective, the main objective was to be able to send them out at the end of the day to preach. But before they could get to that place, he needed them to be with him. Because he had to work on them. He had to teach them things so that they can grow before he can take them to the next stage and to the next level of their journey. So before they were sent, they had to be with him. So you can see that Jesus, in his dealings with his disciples, he started off by taking them through that stage of spiritual growth. And they grew by following him, by learning from him. Remember one day they looked at him and said, Master, can you teach us how to pray? Just like John taught his disciples. So he taught them how to pray. And that's how come we have the Lord's Prayer. It was all part of the learning process, of the teaching process, of making them into something they were not before. And all that was to be achieved by they being with him. And the result of that was that it was going to result in their growth. And they grew. They grew because they spent time with him. So that is the first stage of the journey into kingdom leadership. The spiritual growth process. That's how it starts. From there, they now moved on to the next stage of the journey, which is maturity. Maturity or spiritual maturity. And here, Jesus was developing their character and their faith. He was developing their character and their faith. That was the essence of that stage of the journey. Spiritual maturity. He was developing their character and their faith. So you see, for the 3.5 years that they were with Jesus, he kept working on them. At a point, they grew up spiritually, but they were not mature. So he had to correct them. He had to continue teaching them. He had to keep challenging them. And all of that helped them to mature along the way. And as a result of what he took them through, they became stable. They became discerning, responsible, fruitful, and Christ-like. Now, let me show you some examples of some of the things that he took them through. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 51 to 56. Luke chapter 1, I beg your pardon, chapter 9, verse 51 to 56. The Bible says, now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So at this time, Jesus knew that his time had come. The time to go to Jerusalem, to be crucified, to go through his passion and die and pay for the sins of mankind. Next verse. So he sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But the villagers did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. Then look at what happened here. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? You see, these guys said, they had a nickname. They were called the Sons of Thunder. I mean, only a basabasa. They don't like rough. That's how James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were. So, because the people were not accepting Jesus, they said, Master, just give the instructions. And confirming here, we will call for fire from heaven like Elijah. And by now, they knew that they had power. So command us, just say it, we will call for fire from heaven to consume them, just as Elijah. Now look at Jesus' response. Now he corrected them. It was part of the taking them to maturity. He said, but he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. In other words, you are carrying a certain spirit, a certain power, a certain authority, but you don't understand what you are carrying. You are not mature. Then he went on and said, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. You see, that encounter and that lesson that he took the disciples through was part of getting them to mature and understand that you don't just kill people. So you see, if you see any servant of God who is always cursing people, wishing ill and evil on people, the people he doesn't like or the people who have hurt him and offended him, and sometimes it is true that people have done things against you. But I'm telling you that if you see any Christian, any minister, any servant of God who curses people and wishes evil on them, and sometimes, I don't get it all, it is the person that you are cursing who has done something against you. But why do you want to extend it to his children? Why do you want to do that? And here Jesus was explaining to John and James that, hey, you don't know what spirit you are carrying. You don't understand what ministry is about. It's about saving lives. It is not about destroying lives. Sometimes people are annoying. Sometimes people are hateful. Sometimes people do terrible things. But he explained to them that this ministry that I have made you a part of, it's not about destroying people. I have come to save lives. I have come to rescue people. I have not come to destroy them. Have you heard? James, John, have you heard? And shamefacedly, I'm sure they responded and said, we are sorry. We have heard. But it was a lesson in maturity. And they needed to go through that. Look, Jesus had a plan for them. Jesus had an intentional plan, a deliberate plan. He had a strategy to bring these guys up and get them to a certain place where now he can leave and then give them that responsibility to carry out his mandate. But for 3.5 years, he took them through a process of spiritual growth, end maturity. And they needed to go through that. Otherwise, they will become leaders and be found wanting. And perhaps that is one of the challenges we have in the body of Christ today, where we have a lot of leaders, but they have not matured. And it shows in how they handle things, how they talk, how they relate to things. They're not mature. They're leaders. So it's like they skipped an aspect of the process, of the journey. They skipped it. And because of that, there is a deficiency. Let's look at another example of how Jesus developed their character and faith. So you see with James and John here that their zeal exceeded their maturity. They were more zealous than mature, and Jesus had to correct that. Now, in Mark chapter 9, verse 33 to 35, Mark chapter 9, verse 33 to verse 35, the Bible says, then he came to Capernaum. Now, before they got here, if you looked at the earlier verses, you see that he has started preparing them, telling them, explaining to them that he was going to be dying very soon and was going to go through a very difficult time. He tried to prepare them, but they just couldn't get it. But not long after telling them these things, that should have made them very sober. Look at what happened. The Bible continues and says, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? They were quarreling. I said, a few moments earlier, Jesus had told them that they are going to kill me. And by then, they should have known that Jesus did not joke with things like that. He had told them, they are going to arrest me, they are going to kill me, and all of those things. But as they traveled on, they were quarreling. So he asked them, what were you quarreling about? Bible says, but they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. Childishness. Mufrabasen. Can you see that? So he sat down. Jesus sat down. So this one, he realized that he needed to grab a chair, because this lesson they had to learn it very well. So he sat down and he called them, said, come. Peter, sit here. James, sit here. And he explained to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Alright? So, they were arguing about greatness. And it showed a certain immaturity in them. Considering the fact that the one they were following had told them earlier that he was about to die, but they couldn't relate with it. They were not mature enough to appreciate and understand and comprehend what he was saying. And the next moment, they were arguing, I'll be the greatest. No, you'll be the greatest. I'll be the greatest. No, not you. In fact, the account in, I think, John or Luke, I don't remember which one, it talks about how James and John went to call their mother. You see, so they took the whole thing to another level. They knew that Jesus had a soft spot for their mother. So they went to call their mother and said, Ma, come and say some for us. Just come and tell Jesus this. So the mother came and saw Jesus and said that, Mira, please, I need something for you. Promise me that you'll give it to me. Jesus said, you tell me what it is first before I give it. By the way, don't make promises to people until you hear what they are asking you to promise. Okay? Don't do that. It'll get you into trouble. So he said, promise me that when you come into the kingdom, you would allow my two sons, James and John, one should sit on your left and one should sit on your right. So Jesus explained to her that that's not how it works. That decision is not even mine. It is the Father's decision. He asked them that, can you drink from the cup that I'm about to drink? They said, yes, they can drink. And he said, it is true. You can and you will drink. I was talking about the cup of suffering, but they didn't understand. And they really suffered for him. But he explained to them that this thing that you are asking for, I cannot give it to you. Later on, the other disciples were bored. Because it's like, we are arguing amongst ourselves. Now you have got... You are going to call your mother to bring your mother into the situation. What sort of behavior is that? So Jesus had to call them and cool them down. Stop what you are doing. Stop what you are doing. Listen to me. At that stage, they were still not mature. But Jesus had to keep correcting them. He had to keep teaching them that, look, ministry is about service. Don't be thinking about position. Don't be thinking about elevation. Don't be thinking about benefits. Think about servanthood. Think about humility. And he did that so that he could shape their character before giving them authority. It was important for them to go through it. Otherwise, they would have made shipwreck of their faith and everything that God had intended for them. Then look at another example. John 13. John chapter 13, verse 2 to 15. Again, this scripture reveals to us about that process of maturity that Jesus had to take them through. The Bible says, and supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper and laid aside his garments. He took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, you want to wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. It means that you are not mature. You don't understand a lot of things. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet, though. You shall never wash my feet. Jesus said to him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Then Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taking his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Hallelujah. So get the picture. They had finished eating. Then they saw Jesus take off his outer garments, get a towel tied around his waist. Then he went to wash, went to fetch water. And then he started washing their feet. I'm sure they were puzzled and said, hey, Nabokodie. Nabokodie. It's like, what is going on with him? He washed everybody's feet. Then he came to Simon Peter. And Peter said, it won't happen. Ah! You are coming to wash my feet. It will never happen. Jesus said, Peter, you are too impulsive, too reactionary. Take your time. Everybody else has allowed it. Why is it that you alone, you want to make an issue of it? He said, no, you cannot wash my feet. Jesus said, you don't understand what I'm doing. But you will understand one day. Now you don't understand. Now you don't understand because you are not mature. You know that when you are not mature, there are a lot of things you don't understand. You don't understand it. But when Jesus said that, he said, ah, well, since you want to wash my feet, and they're drying me, baby, from the crown of my head to the soul, just finish it. Why do you want to just stay there? Because Jesus told that if I don't do that, you are not part of me. So that if you are, if I want to be very sure that I am part of you through and through. So Jeremy baby, I free my pem pem. Ekosi minasi. And Jesus said, here you go again. Always impulsive. Saying all kinds. I said, no, you are okay. You're already clean. You see, it's like you are bathed. You went out. The only part of you that is dirty is your feet. So that's the only part I need to wash. So he did that. And after he finished, he sat down. Then he said that, do you guys understand the lesson that I'm teaching you? Do you understand what I've taken you through? Then he explained to them that what I have just taken you through is to teach you a very important lesson. Note that at this time, Jesus knew that his time was very limited. But part of the closing lesson that he needed to impart on them was a lesson on humility and servanthood. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that the mark, some of the greatest marks of a good leader are humility and servanthood. If you are a good leader according to kingdom principles, that's why I called it kingdom leadership, then we'll see this about you: servanthood and leadership. Not impenyinze, because that is, especially on the African continent, that's the kind of leadership we know. Becoming a big man, throwing your weight about, always being saluted. Everywhere you pass, you are called Honorable, Chief Justice, Inspector General, Director, Boss. One of the things that irritates me is when people call me boss. I don't know. There's something about it I don't like. So sometimes you go into a shop, you're going to buy, say, oh, boss. Sometimes I tell them, I'm not your boss. Or sometimes when they call me boss, I tell them, madam. Yeah, you call me boss, me too, I call you madam. You know, but there's especially the African type of leadership. We like that. Being hailed, being set on a certain pedestal, nobody else matches up to you. You go through town and people are following you, and you know, there's a lot of pomp and pageantry. Yeah, very courty kind of thing. But as part of the maturity training process, he explained to them that where I want you to get to and the assignment that I have for you, you cannot afford to be that type of leader according to the world system. You have to learn to serve one another, because true leadership, according to kingdom leadership, is about service. It's about humility. It is about servanthood. That's what you need to learn. And he taught them this as part of the whole trying to get them to become mature process. So see how the whole thing played out. He started. So first of all, he called them. He said, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. In other words, come, follow me and learn of me. I want you to be with me. And that thing needed to happen so that they will grow. And I use this illustration for you, that usually for a child to grow, he must learn certain things. He must follow certain things. And as he follows and he learns, it results in growth of the child. And it was the same thing with the disciples. They had to be with him. They had to learn from him. They had to follow him. And all of that helped them to grow. But you can have somebody who is grown but is immature. You can have that. So sometimes you meet an adult, but you realize that the adult is not mature. From the way he talks, from his understanding of things. Sometimes I deal with people and I say, why don't they don't understand things? Like today, I had some exchanges with another pastor. He's older than I am. Okay? But I noticed that his understanding of things is very low. And sometimes you're trying to explain things to him, he just doesn't get it. And he takes the thing to another tangent. Look, at a point, I realized that it's not going to work. So I just closed the issue and left it. He's old. He's probably been in ministry for more years than I have. But from my interaction with him at meetings and all of those things, I can see that. Why can I cry? Do you see? So sometimes you can have that. You can grow, but you are not mature. So the disciples, at a certain point, they had certainly come quite far from where Jesus started off with them. But they still had to mature. And that's where Jesus had to correct them. Sometimes he had to rebuke them. And he had to teach them all kinds of things. Because he needed them to mature. Otherwise, they will spoil the ministry. They will mess it up. And they will never be able to accomplish the mandate that he had put in place for them. So after spiritual growth, the next stage of the journey was the maturity. I'm going to end here and then we'll continue next Wednesday. I beg your pardon. But you know, I've taken us through this teaching to explain something to you. As you sit here listening to me, or wherever you're watching this video, if you are a child of God, if you are saved, and if you are born again, I want you to understand that God has some great plans for you. That in saving you, his intention was not just that he's saving you so that you can book your seat to Zion and to the New Jerusalem. Of course, it is part of it. We've been saved so that we can be with Jesus in heaven. But if that was all there was to it, right after we got saved, he should have exited us. He should have translated us out of this world straight to heaven. Because when you get saved, you still remain in this world that is full of trouble and full of trials. If his only intention was to save us and get us to heaven, there would have been no need for us to remain here. So it's like as soon as you finish saying the sinner, "Oh Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord." As soon as you say amen, then you disappear. It's like, before you realize you are in heaven. It would be quite nice, wouldn't it? Yeah. It's just those who want to enjoy certain things on earth who feel that this sort of arrangement will not work in their favor. So, there's more to it. There's more to our salvation. And I want you to understand that in saving us, God had a plan that he was going to use us to save others. That's why we've been left here. And God's intention is that we'll become his disciples. And then we will become disciples, where we that have been discipled will disciple others also. That's what the Great Commission is about. And that's the plan of God for every single one of you seated here. And everyone who is watching me and listening to me and who is truly born again. And in going through that, he wants us to be rooted in Christ and to reproduce for him. But for all that to happen, there is a journey that we have to go through. And that journey begins from the moment you get born again. It was that journey that the disciples went through. And it was to serve as an example, as a prototype for everybody else who will come, who will become saved along the line. That the same journey that Jesus took the disciples through intentionally and strategically, every child of his, including you, is supposed to go through that journey. And that journey starts with spiritual growth. When you get born again, you are a baby in Christ. But God is not expecting us to remain babies forever. He is expecting us to grow. We grow through prayer. We grow through the word of God. We grow through fellowship. We grow through relating with other believers. We grow through doing the work of God. He's expecting us that we will grow spiritual growth. But that's not the end of it. He's expecting us not only to grow, but to mature. Because you can be grown, but you're not mature. So that's why he said in Hebrews 5:12-14 that, "For when for the time ye ought to become teachers, he had need that one teach you again the basic principles of the doctrines of Christ, and you become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone who uses milk is a baby and is unskillful in the word of righteousness." So the Bible has explained that there is a stage where you're supposed to become a teacher, where you move from being a little child in the faith to becoming a grown person, a mature person who is in the position to teach others also. And that's God's expectation for all of us. So it starts off with the spiritual growth. And then as we go on, we're supposed to climb into maturity. Then after we get there, or even in the process, he begins to entrust things to us to do. That is where stewardship comes in. And that will now lead us to the final stage where we become leaders. And then now he can use us and cause us to be very fruitful in his service. But we must allow God to take us through the process. And the thing with most of us is we are resisting him. We are resisting everything that the Spirit of God is trying to do to move us from where we are to spiritual growth, to maturity, to stewardship and leadership. We are resisting him with every fiber of our beings. We have goals. We have ambitions for everything else, but for the kingdom of God and for the reason for which we were saved. Is it not sad that you walk into a typical church and you find out that very few people in the church are interested in rising high in the ministry? But they want to rise high at their workplace. They want to become the manager there. But when it comes to the house of God, people are satisfied and content to just walk in and walk out every Sunday, come and spend 2 hours, maximum 2.5 hours, and that is it for the entire week. Then the next Sunday they come. And as we do that, we keep breaking the master's heart. Because like, hey, these guys, I saved them for this purpose. And I thought that out of their gratitude for saving them, they would give themselves and yield themselves for the work of the ministry. But now, we don't want to do it. So there's always a struggle and a battle to get people to do the work of the ministry. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been saved for a reason and for a purpose. And I tell you, we will never be truly fulfilled and satisfied in this life until we embrace our calling and we embrace that mandate and we allow the Spirit of God to take us through that journey from spiritual growth to maturity, to stewardship, and to leadership. Earthly things will leave us dry. Many of the things we are chasing after, they will leave us more discontented and dissatisfied. I'm telling you. You think that marriage is what is going to make you very happy in life? Have you not realized that when people are marrying, people shout at the back, "Don't do, don't do." What they are saying is, you don't know. You don't know what you are entering. I'm not here to scare anybody and frighten anybody. But the truth is, you don't know. You don't know what you are going to go through. Yeah, go. Yeah, it's not a bad thing, no. But like Paul tried to explain to the believers that, yeah, go for it, marry and everything. But I'm telling you that you will have troubles. Yeah, you have trouble. As the people who've been married for some time, you see, we have just made ourselves happy. That's what we've done. Yeah, but if we sit down and tell you things, you realize that love wanting thing. That's what you realize at the end of the day. I'm telling you something. That the things that we are chasing after, you think that if you have more money, you'll be very happy. Yeah, people have a lot of money, they're still not happy. You feel that if you have the ability to travel and chill and go around the world and all of that, you'll be very happy. Evan Jokumi has been living in the U.S. for many, many, many years. Pastor Jokumi. Yeah, now we've been fighting over this thing. Live the minimum. The U.S. that you are trying very hard to go to. Now, when he even has to go there and come, it's a problem for him. You can't imagine it. Because sometimes you are looking for something. You get it. And after you've had it for a while, you ask yourself, say, the only thing that satisfies is serving Jesus and serving him. And that's why we must embrace his call upon our lives and embrace the mandate that he has given to us and give our best for his service. I want all of us to do some introspection. Just look and ask yourself, so me, where am I at in this whole journey? The journey from spiritual growth to maturity to stewardship and to leadership. Where am I? And trust God to begin to do better than you've done. So that by supernatural means, things can be hastened for you to get to where you're supposed to. Because if we look at the number of years you've been a Christian for, where you are, it's a shame. You should have been higher, doing more fruitful and effective in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us all. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. And thank you for this exposition about the journey that you took the apostles through, which finally culminated in them becoming the great leaders upon which the foundation of the church was built. As it was with them, so would it be with us. And it's the same kind of journey that you want to take us through. But Father, we've resisted it. We've fought you. We've stood against it for so long. Holy Spirit, help us to yield and to submit and to give ourselves to you and to embrace the charge and the call that you have placed upon us. I pray for everyone listening to me that something will be stirred up in our hearts, a certain fire, a certain passion, a certain zeal for God, for the things of God, a certain desire to carry out the Master's wish. Bless your people tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, let everyone say amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.